Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
It's not normal that the federal government would get involved in what is a zoning issue.
I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. That includes the right to build a place of worship on private property in Lower Manhattan.
It's a matter of time, and it's a matter of people in same-sex relationships coming out and sharing that they simply want the dignity and respect and protections that come along with marriage.
Children of every race, creed, and color need a father and a mother.
If you want to see what the love of God is, the place that you look is at a man bloody dead on a cross.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Oh, the arguments that are being made in favor of same-sex marriage sometimes are overwhelming. There's so many now. And then judges, judge in California decides that, and people are applauding his legal reasoning, decides that the voters in California who do not want same-sex marriage were wrong and unconstitutional to say that they should not have same-sex marriage. But we need to respond to these arguments, and in particular to the judge's argument that was made, and we'll do that a little bit later here in this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's show listening to your thoughts from the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we will spend the rest of the hour responding to a recent Leonard Pitts Jr. column in support of same-sex marriage. Our guest will be Frank Turek. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, August the 17th, 1-877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Visit our Facebook fan page as usual, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, the Issues Etc. comment line is a line that we leave open for our listeners all the time. When we're not here, it's still here, and it always picks up and answers. We leave it open for you because we like to hear your criticism, your suggestions, your comments, your ideas, your show suggestions, questions you had about a show you listened to a week ago, or if you're following us on demand that you just listened to, but the show was 2 weeks ago. We like all of it. That's why we have the Issues Etc. comment line. The number, 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. That's the Issues Etc. comment line. First, a comment about the battle for the Bible in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Hello, this is Mark calling from Mitchell, South Dakota, and I am a confessional Calvinist, but I wanted to thank you for your show, and I wanted to especially thank you for your interview with Dr. Paul Zimmerman several weeks ago, and in it you mentioned his book, Seminary in Crisis. I just finished reading the book, and it was incredibly interesting. And perhaps the most interesting part of it was the Blue Book's transcripts with the professors, or interviews with the professors. And it's amazing how so many of them just would not give a straight answer for what they really believed. So I had a couple of questions. My first question is, has anybody ever done a study or written a book that talks about how the seminary got into that state? Who made the compromises? Who made the decisions to let the professors and let the seminary go in such a liberal direction? I think that would be a really interesting book or show for you to talk about. And then my other question is, what steps are being done to prevent that from happening again? And I know the recent election of Reverend Harrison would be a good step, but what kind of oversight exists for the seminary, and what things changed so that the problem could be found out before it gets to that degree? Anyway, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much for the comment. A couple things there. First of all, it is remarkable that he mentioned the Blue Book, Paul Zimmerman's book about the crisis, the battle for the Bible crisis in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod some 30-plus years ago, was, well, 40 years ago now almost, was he has the value of this book is that it is firsthand and a primary source history. He actually has the transcripts of interviews that were conducted during an investigation phase of seminary professors at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and they're, well, you're quite right, they're non-answers. It is extremely frustrating, isn't it? They would teach certain things in the classroom, and then when queried about what they were teaching in the classroom, somehow had a difficult time giving a straight answer. Now, I think this is indicative of theological error in general. It has to really gain political ascendancy before it will actually come out and say what it is it really believes and wants. You can go to churches like the Episcopal Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and, well, the other denominations, with the exception of the United Churches of Christ, they're all still in that phase of not really willing to say what it is they really want and believe. And yet, the Episcopal Church USA, they have now come out and just simply admitted what they wanted all along and what they've been working for years. And they must feel better now. I mean, weight lifted from them to finally admit what they had been denying they wanted for so long. And I think this is emblematic of theological error. When it does not have political influence, when it does not have sufficient numbers in support, when it does not have control of an institution, it is unwilling to be honest. It's unwilling to admit what it is really advocating for. And it's very difficult to get a straight answer from someone who may believe and in another context be quite bold about advocating their error. It's very difficult to get a straight answer from them if they don't think they can run the table. Now, when they do think they can run the table, then they are honest. I think it's G.K. Chesterton, if I'm not mistaken, who's often credited with saying that error works this way. First, it just wants to sit in the corner and observe, say nothing, keep its mouth shut. Then it wants a place at the table, maybe just down at one end, a minority voice. Then it wants to move up the ranks of the table. Finally, it wants to sit at the head of the table and dictate to everyone else. And pretty soon, it is escorting the truth into the corner and eventually out the door. Of course, I paraphrase. Now, he asked the question, how did it get that bad? I think another book that might help you out is called A Seminary in Crisis is Paul Zimmerman's book. But another book, that's the book he'd read. Another book that you might want to read is, what's it called? It'll come to me in a moment. He asks, what's being done today in terms of oversight? Well, a lot has been done. First of all, we are far more careful about what's being taught in the classroom. The danger today to the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is not the historical critical method. That has pretty much been laid aside. There are still a few dinosaurs out there in parishes, in certain teaching positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that either openly or, more likely, secretly buy into higher criticism. But that doesn't mean there aren't dangers. The danger today is not so much a low view of Scripture's authority, but denial of Scripture's authority by another means. And that is, you know, Scripture's good. It just doesn't do what we need to get the job done now. We need better methods. We need marketing. We need to repackage the message. That's the danger in the seminary classrooms today. By the way, the book he mentioned called A Seminary in Crisis by Dr. Paul Zimmerman, a guest on this program, you can find it at Concordia Publishing House, cph.org, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Next to come out about last week's series of hymn studies.
Hi, my name's Donald Jordan, and I was listening to your show last week on the hymnody and the hymns, and it was really, really excellent. All the speakers were really, really good. The only comment I had was Reverend Whedon was very difficult to listen to. It seems that he stuttered a lot, and some of his voice inflections went way up and down and so on, too, and kind of hilarious sometimes, but he was a little tough to listen to. I thought all the others did a really, really good job, and wanted to commend you for doing that. Okay, keep up the good work, and we appreciate listening to you online in California. Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, and thank you for listening online and for listening in California as well. Thank you for your compliment about the hymn series that we did last week. I will say, in Pastor Whedon's defense, that yes, he has a very – we often talk about this when we're doing production. He has a very unique pattern of speech, but some of the – deepest thinkers do. The content of what he delivers via that unique pattern of speech is unsurpassed, if you ask me. Maybe difficult to listen to, but well worth your trouble. Thank you very much for the comment. By the way, we do these hymn studies because some of the richest theology that there is embedded in the life of the church is embedded in those hymns. We're talking not only about great text, things that are that can teach generation after generation, but we also find in them these deep roots reaching down into Scripture. They are a tremendous vehicle for expressing what it is Christians have believed and continue to believe based upon nothing other than Holy Scripture. That's why we do these hymn studies, and that's why we devote the time to them. And it was just a pleasure to be able to do our listeners' top favorite hymns last week. And I have to say, again, I was very proud that they chose the ones that they chose. Our listeners, we often say smartest listeners in radio, and there's a reason for it. I think last week's series of hymn studies proved it once again. When we come back, a little bit more from the comment line, then Frank Turek on same-sex marriage.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. A few more minutes with the Issues Etc. comment line. Your comments on the comment line. Then Frank Turek will join us to respond to a recent Leonard Pitts Jr. column in support of same-sex marriage. Let's see. Oh, During the break, Jeff found the book that I was looking for. I had mentioned another reference on the Battle for the Bible in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that may explain how it got that way in the first place, a book called Anatomy of an Explosion by the late and great Kurt Marquardt, who was there to witness a lot of this. Anatomy of an Explosion by Kurt Marquardt. Barb is on the line. Barb, thank you for waiting.
Hi. I just have to make a comment about Pastor Whedon, because I have listened to him, I've read his stuff, I follow him, love his sermons, and I have to say, he is my Augustine, because he has a heart that sings of his faith and knows the sorrow of our sin, and every time I listen to him, I think immediately of St. Augustine. So he is my Augustine, so I'm coming to his defense.
That's high praise. Barb, thank you very, very much. There's no doubt about it. As a man of deep passion, of, as I said, a peculiar pattern of speech, but that does not, in my opinion, get in the way of the great insight that he has. I am convinced of this. Okay, I tend to measure things this way. I measure my fellow pastors by, what should I say, by the how much I want to be like them when I grow up. And I've had probably three or four pastors in my life that I want to be when I grow up, and Will Whedon is one of them. So, enough said. Time for one final comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yes, this is Herman calling in on August 17th. Especially noted that the vacation must have done everybody well, because Pastor Wilkin really asked some good questions to Wendy Wright yesterday about the abortion pill being approved and its implications. I heard your spot this morning about Jennifer Aniston, that Dr. Roback Morse is going to handle this evening on your interview. And my thoughts are, if Jennifer Aniston feels that as part of the Hollyweird cultural elite, that she sees that the time is right to promote fatherless families with women having children alone than raising them alone, that essentially you have what the federal government did decades ago, trying to create a fatherless family system with welfare now extending into the rest of society and being given celebrity approval. So that certainly the implication there. Shows you how, shall we say, grand these people from that point of view think their influence and worldview is, and what kind of consequences are going to come from it. Apparently, they don't care or feel can be mitigated by the large amount of money they had. Curiously, the Clintons spent $3 to $5 million on Chelsea's wedding. Interesting, isn't it? In contrast to Jennifer Aniston's statement. Well, we'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your comment. I like his term, celebrity approval. Of course, for some reason, that counts a lot in our culture. When a celebrity says, I approve of this, be it a lifestyle, a choice like that, fatherless motherhood. By the way, you may have noticed that we don't have Jennifer Roback Morse on the program this afternoon to discuss that subject. She was called away by family necessity, but we will have her or perhaps a Colleen Carroll Campbell tomorrow or the next day to respond to Jennifer Aniston on fatherless motherhood. We promise.